Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, you know, as we were singing that song this morning at the cross, At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm miserable all the day. Did you receive your sight? It was at the cross that your eyes were opened. Yeah. And here's what just continually amazes me. People don't understand this, and I get that because when you get saved, you don't understand a lot. You just understand that you need saved. Yeah. But everything is made available to you upon salvation. Yeah. Everything. Every seed that you're ever going to need in your life was because of the seed that Jesus was at the cross. Now, I'm not going to get to all of that today, but over the next few weeks as I continue with this series on seed time and harvest, you have to understand that God is not hiding from you and He's not keeping something from you. It's available for you, and I'm looking forward to you implementing that, being good soil, and allowing those things to cultivate, to produce in your life. So we started last week, Mark chapter 4. The week before, we were on Mark chapter 4. This is the third in our series of seed time and harvest. And Mark chapter 4, verse 20, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as have been planted. The sad thing in our society today is I hear numbers of people getting saved, but I'm not seeing the abundant harvest in our society. And I just don't want that to be the case here at Christian Ministries Church. I'm talking to a bunch of saved people this morning. If you're not saved, as soon as service is over with, run up here or grab somebody right now and just say, I need to be saved. But after the service is over with, please come up and let me introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you need to be saved. It's just an important part of the life of a Christian. But today I'm not teaching a bunch of people who are unsaved. I'm teaching a bunch of people who know Jesus prayerfully. So if that's the case, then you are one of those that's accepted God's word in verse 20. My question is, are you producing a harvest 30, 60, even 100 times as much as has been planted? If not, then God has something for you today in His word. Once again, seed is the word of God. Soil is your heart. Fruit is the produce that comes from the seed. Now, the three points that I'm going to continue to bring up every week is what seed will do for you. You need to know that. The second thing is you need to recognize where fruit is in your life and where it is not. And you need to recognize the third point is the seed from your fruit should be benefiting others. And if it's not, then we need to examine what area we're missing that's already been given. Now, God's people for sure have plenty of fruit that should be being produced. But every one of us knows somebody that says they're a Christian, yet we see no fruit in their life. Everyone does. God's people should have a distribution of seed based on fruit, because seed will be what you find in fruit, right? Right? I mean, all right. It's not God that sows the word. God sends the seed. So who's the one that sows? Man is. Man is. So you receive what you're sowing. You get it. The more understanding of the word and the understanding is received, and you do what you know works, and then you start seeing fruit. It's just the way it works. Once again, this is not a new parable. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Let's take off where we left off last week. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. A man sows the seed, and after the seed is sown, it does its thing. It does its thing. I mean, verse 28, the word will do its thing. It's automatic. If you're from the south, it's going to do its thing. If you're from the north, it's going to do its thing. But it's going to do it. It's automatic. It's on its own. And people oftentimes are trying to get a seed to do something that only God can get it to do. Your job is to get it, plant it, make sure the soil's what it needs to be, and then let God produce what will eventually be what then you go and receive. People oftentimes, they quit tending before the time has arrived. People trying to harvest crops before they're ready is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. If you could make your need sound bad enough sometimes, you're thinking that God will, well, God's going to move here, because I'm just telling him, he knows it's a bad deal. I mean, you just don't know what I've had to deal with my child this week. It's a bad deal. God, you know how much my child needs you. God, you know that I'm in need here. Boy, financially, I'm three checks behind in rent. They're getting ready to foreclose. I'm in need. And what we don't get is that God is not moved by need if he already met all your needs at the cross.
Wow. Wow.
So if he met your need at the cross, then why are we singing, "And miserable I am"? No, happy all the day or miserable all the day. If he met your need, then you're crying out, "God, I'm needing you to move on my behalf because I have a need." Church, you need to know God's not moved by needs. Oh, that's really tough for me to hear. God's not moved by your needs. Now, parents are. Yeah. If you make your needs sound bad enough as a child, come on, everybody's done it. If you can remember back, "Oh, Mom, come on, so-and-so has it, I need it too." And so we do everything that we can. I can't help but talk about parenting when I'm getting ready to teach on it tomorrow night. But what we're going to do is we're just going to do everything that we can to make our need to God be received from God so that he'll give us the fruit that will answer our need. And what he said, "I already did that. I already did that." Remember the cross?
Yep.
Remember 1 Peter? Yep. Everything. "Oh, man, but I'm still in need." Well, what you've got to do is you've got to understand seed, time, and harvest. If you're in need of something financially, I'm just telling you, you missed some seed there. See, that's fruit you don't have. If you're in need in your marriage, I'm just telling you, you've messed up some of the seed. You planted some wrong seed there. If you're getting ready to get fired from your job, I'm just telling you, some of that seeds you've been planting has not been producing. That showing up late every week is not the seed. You needed the seed of earliness. See, I'm just telling you, what are you planting? What are you sowing? Because man sows. In fact, that just goes right along with Scripture. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. If you don't know the word enough to sow it, then you're reaping things that are not the word. And I want to reap God's harvest. God is moved. If he's not moved by needs, then what moves him? Faith moves him.
Yeah.
Faith moves the heart of God. And it's hard to live on faith when the word's not implemented, because faith only comes by the word. And hearing it, and hearing it, and hearing it. Whoever believes in their heart and says with their mouth, they can have what they say. Now, that's just Scripture. Whoever believes in their heart and says with their mouth, they can have what they say. You need a harvest based on seed you've planted in your heart, in your soil, in you. You've planted that, and if you plant that and you tend it by saying the right thing with your mouth, you can have what you say. Or let me say it like this. You can have what you planted and you know is there.
Yeah.
I planted that. Well, I keep saying it, and it's not there yet. At the cross, at the cross. See, I'm trying to get you to see what we're doing today is we're teaching a concept of seed, time, and harvest. And people pray and they say, God, here's my problem. And we pray and we pray our problem and we pray our problem. We continue to say our problem. Are you going to have what you say? You bet you are. And you're saying your problem over and over and over again. God, here's my problem. And you're just saying what you're getting ready to have. My problem, my problem. Oh, my child is just a terror. Oh, God, my child is just a terror. Oh, God, my child is just a... You're going to have exactly what you say. Wait a minute here. What seed am I planting here? Because the seed that I'm planting has to be what I know I'm going to have. Therefore, that's what's got to come out of my mouth. Nothing wrong with prayer, but set yourself in agreement with someone and believe God with what your promise is. They just don't know, and people don't know their solution or how it's coming about, but it's coming according to your faith in your promise. Yeah. Let me explain that a little deeper. His promise, your promise, comes from the Word of God, and it started at the cross. So if your promise comes from the Word of God, could you say that your promise is seed? Remember the definition of seed, it's the word. And if my promise comes from the word, then it would be seed. So what's your faith in? My faith in the promise, or my faith is in the seed. There's nothing you can do, as we've already said, that's going to make that seed grow. That's God's business. Your job's to plant it and to say it. And you're only going to say what you believe is going to happen. And so you say what the seed that you planted says it's going to be. When I plant corn and I sow corn, I start saying, that's going to be some good corn. Because I know the seed, because I know the fruit that the seed came out of. And I know it's going to be good. And so I say, oh, that corn, right now God's making it really good. Really, really good. And when it gets up, and praise God, he made that cow right out there too. And it's going to produce for me some butter. And it's going right on that corn. And the two things that God's growing right now, I'm just tending, making sure no weeds are there, making sure no birds are coming in. See, I've got all these things that we've already talked about in this parable that I'm watching, and I'm making sure that through faith I'm believing God in the seed. If we could get that principle for the promises of God in our own life, then we wouldn't get so bent out of shape when we don't have the fruit, but we're getting ready to. What are you saying about your seed? I don't know why this isn't happening for me. I just don't know why this isn't. Because you're not standing on the promises of God. I don't ever get caught up on the why. I get caught up on the promise. You get caught up on the promise. Know what the word says and say what the word says. Now, please understand, a lot of people are saying something that the word doesn't say. So we've got to make sure that what we're standing on, you have a scripture you can go right back to. You have the principle from the word. And a lot of times that principle you stand on, and people are standing on principles, a soft answer turns away wrath. Well, I've got wrath every time I turn the corner. Yeah, it's because you're standing on a principle, not a promise. Well, I'm reading Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of principles. You do that enough, you'll start seeing that. But know this, there are promises that are law. The law of gravity, you can stand against it all day long, but it's law. And I'm just saying, I can't just take a step right here with the law of gravity and not go down. If I could, y'all would run, because it'd be weird. He's levitating, he's floating, something's happening, he's way too big for that. All of those things, I mean... If you even thought that, I'd clear the church if I just took a step out and just floated. Because everybody believes in the law of gravity. See, we believe in physical laws, but we don't understand there's laws of God that are promised for you. The earth takes care of itself. There's a growing process. Verse 28, the earth produces the crops on its own. And you say, as faith comes, then what the Word of God says, you can have it and you will have it. The heart will grow it. And through time, as you put the Word in, you bring it forward. The seed has to get in the heart. It can't be left in the bag. So many things we've already talked about, but you got to know there's a growing time. Come on, everybody's got to hear this today. There's a growing time. There's a growing time. People pray for things and expect it right this second. I promise you there will be parents that come to the parenting class tomorrow night and think that Tuesday morning their child's going to be an angel. I've done all of that. No, there's a time of doing that over and over and over and over and over, and then the harvest. But God's going to grow it. You just keep planting the right seed at the right time and then give it time. You start implementing, man, I tithed last week and I've just, nothing's happened. Yeah. Nothing's happened yet. Heard a testimony this week that someone got a hold of that principle at one of our financial seminars that we did. And the next week, God did something supernaturally. You know why that was supernatural? Because it was supernatural. It wasn't natural. Yeah. Most, and praise God for it. I'm believing for miracles today. Okay, I can sing that song and believe God for miracles. The problem is they're called a miracle because they don't happen every day. And if you've got everybody in God's house believing for only a miracle, then they're not implementing seed time and harvest. And you could have got your miracle if you'd have just planted the right seed, given the right amount of time, and then one day go out and get your harvest. It's just the way it works. This message is so cool because I don't disagree at all about praying about things. I mean, let's pray about this, but let's make sure that our prayers are how we can do our part and then allow God to do what he does that we can't. The problem oftentimes is we're praying for God to do something that we can. God gives the seed, but he doesn't sow it. Man, your responsibility is to sow it. And if you're messing up something in the sowing process, then you're not going to get the harvest that God intended for that seed. If you'll sow it and then you'll do the right things during the time, God will do his part and develop that seed. I know that I'm saying the same thing in 100 different ways, and some of you might go, you're saying it the exact same way. Well, I'm just going to keep saying it. And sometimes I'm going to keep saying it until y'all are smiling and nodding at me. And then I'll know, okay, they got that one. Oftentimes, I have seen people leave the church, not just this one, but bunches of churches, because they're trying to get a harvest before they have time to plant the things in their own heart that would have produced a harvest. And we've got to let the Word do for them what you can't. How many times have you heard of a need in church? And you, in your mind, thought, I'm going to do everything I can to help them fulfill that need. I heard of this need, and so I'm going to go in, and I'm going to give them a harvest. You know what harvest you gave them? You gave them a harvest before they understood seed time and harvest. You are the one that had the seed. You are the one that put the time in. It's your harvest that's blessing them. Now, I'm not saying because the church will do that. I mean, we have some mandates out of Scripture as a church. As Christians, we definitely have some commands that we're to operate by. But it's hard to give somebody something you don't have. Peter, even silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, You can have. You can have this. So get up and walk. I mean, you can have what I do have. What I can tell you is you can't ever, point three of the first 3 points that we're going to continue, you can't ever give somebody something that you don't have. I'm looking for $1 million. Can anybody just come up here and give that to me? I'm in need. Now, you may not say that, but you would say, I'm in need of some parenting. Or I'm in need of some money and nobody knows it, but right now you're sitting there and your home's getting ready to be foreclosed on. I'm in need. And then someone says, well, let me give you a scripture. God's people won't be out begging for bread. God's people, are you God's people? Before long, they're like, you're not helping me at all. The problem is when they have no fruit for an extended period of time, and then they're offered seed, seed's not going to help them right then because they're in need. And I believe that there is a mandate on God's people to see people in need and help them. But God's promise is moved by faith in the seed. And at some point, you've got to quit just providing fish to everyone and teach them how to fish. So at some point, you got to teach them how to farm, how to sow seed, how to be what you can be to produce what you want to produce. But I've seen people leave the church because they have no produce and they were getting help for a while, but now nobody's helping me. You've missed the whole concept of church. The whole reason you're here today is to get equipped to go out and give fruit. See, that's doing the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4, we are here as a church to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. Well, if that's the case, how can I equip you? I can teach you about seed. I can teach you about time. I can encourage you that God's going to fulfill his promises. And then you got to put the time in. Now, how long is that time? I don't know. It depends on what kind of seed you're planting. There are some seed that comes up pretty quick. And it produces pretty quick. There are other seed that takes a while. And you can't take a harvest too early. You got to keep feeding the word. And sometimes we just want to harvest before it's there. And wait, I've just been waiting and waiting and waiting. And before long, you get dependent on somebody else's produce. That's why I have a real problem with socialism. Okay, that's another route, but. Let me say it a little different. I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to continue to believe in the promise that God gave you. But I want to get in my life to a point where I don't need a miracle. Now, some of you may be looking at me and going, okay, well, you've missed it, Pastor. No, miracles in Scripture are always happening in situations, and I get that. But they're happening in situations where something drastic is going on. Wouldn't it be cool if you didn't get to a place where something drastic is what you're living on? And I'm just believing God for a miracle every day. Now, miracles happen, but I just want to get to a place where I'm not really in need. I want my life to be so productive because I planted the right things. I have grown the right thing, or I didn't grow them. God grew them, but I'm watching God do his part. I just planted, I tended, and then I'm just standing over here, whoop, whoop, with my sickle. And I'm just getting one thing. And the cows are out there and we're churning butter. Actually, no, I let somebody else do that, but I'm going to go get it because I got the money from the fruit to buy the butter and I put it on the corn. And I'm, oh God, you're so good. Nobody does that. Well, I do sometimes because I like food. But here's the thing. How many are doing that in their marriage? All your wife wanted was some mums. And since my wife made a post this week about me talking about stuff that goes on in our home, I thought I would oblige her again. She just wanted some mums. You know, there's a quick harvest to just going and buying something your wife wants. Men are like, go on, you don't have to keep talking about this, I get it. Okay, well get it then. That's good seed. There are just some seeds in life that you've got to know if you plant the right thing, you're going to get the right thing and it's going to produce for you. And I just want a good marriage. Well, what are you planting in your marriage? I just want a good marriage. Mark chapter 4, verse 28, the earth produces crops on its own. First the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, finally the grain. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. The planter has a right to the harvest. There can be a demand for a harvest. Now listen to this. If I plant the right seed, if I plant the right seed, which is the Word of God, and I've got the Word of God and I'm living by it, we've been teaching on this every Wednesday night. The Sermon on the Mount, God taught so much of how to handle the Word and how to make the application in your life. And you do the right thing, God does His part. And I can tell you, when I plant corn and I watch it and I tend it, I demand that I will get the corn. I mean, there's a demand on the seed to produce when it's taken care of. Now, the planter has a right to the harvest. He has a right to it because he planted it. The farmer comes and receives what he planted. That's what the farmer receives. You have a right to what has been planted. Church, you have a right to the harvest. Sow the word in your heart. The harvest belongs to you. There's nothing selfish about that. Well, that's just being selfish. No. No farmer plants seed and one day thinks he's selfish because he goes out there and harvests it. Why do God's people get so caught up that they can't be blessed? They can't receive what they planted. I've always just never understood that because the harvest belongs to the planter. The seed is God's. Your part's to do what you've been called to do, and then you get what you have tended that God grew. It's just a very, very simple process. We've got to move on. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. We don't have to, but I'm going to. Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. I like the phrase here. Jesus could only speak as much as what they were able to understand. He could only speak what they were able to understand. Have you ever tried to explain something that is past the ability of the person to understand? Have you ever taught someone to drive? Come on, if you're a parent, you've taught someone to drive. Yeah, yeah. You taught somebody to drive. If you start too early, they can't reach the pedals. Yeah. I mean, I think Lane, my grandson, I think he has the ability. But it's too early. Yeah. And I get him up there and I say, okay, here's what you do. You watch Will, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then just to start it, there's a key here. He knows right where the key's at. But on my general, you have to push on the brake at the same time you turn the key. He's out of luck. Now, he's kind of tall for his age, so it won't be long. And if you'll ask him, do you want to drive? You know what he goes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants to drive. But really what he's saying is, I want to ride with somebody who can drive. I have tried to teach young people my whole life and get frustrated that they don't understand what I'm trying to say. I just have. I mean, could you ought to understand this. I'm telling you, quit doing that. It's going to hurt you. Don't touch that. It's going to burn you. And you can try everything that you can to teach somebody, but it's beyond their understanding. You got to be at parenting, by the way. I don't know if I've told you anything about parenting yet, but We've got to be real careful not to teach beyond what someone can understand. And Jesus said, I don't do that. I don't teach people beyond what. I don't know if you've ever went to the little room to meet a doctor after someone's been in surgery, and you go meet the doctor, and you're like just trying to understand what the doctor said. The doctors have a real understanding of this, how they are just talking at a level that they need to come down a little bit to where I'm at. I don't understand what you're saying. And we've all been there and tried to understand what's being said by someone that's above us, but really it's just past our ability. You need to know who you're talking to, and you need to know who you are, and don't live frustrated. I find this true at school with our young people. It's true in counseling at times, people who are in trouble in their marriage. Everything that you need for your marriage has been given. You're beyond wanting to understand. Things are living frustrated. Now, church, here's what we got to know. How can we describe the kingdom of God? Jesus said, once again, let me say this like this. That's what he's saying. I say that. Okay, let me say it like this. I have a habit of saying that. I listen to myself and I'm like, you say that too much. And I've already said it twice in this sermon. But Jesus said, and maybe I could change my phrasing a little bit. Once again, and I don't know if that's the body language he gave when he said it. Once again, you've heard it said, the reason the mustard seed always intrigued me. And years ago, Tom Underhill shared something at this church, and it was back before this was even here. This was a field. And we were down in this lower building, and he was talking about this. Well, when he talked about it, he said there was a study done at a university in Israel on the study of Hebrew. And he said, I didn't know this at the time, but I didn't realize that Tom Underhill's the one who asked for this study. He's a real theologian in my mind and in his accomplishments. But he asked for a study to be done. And his study was about the mustard seed. I want to know this about the mustard seed. And here's what he said. I want to know if we can cross-pollinate a mustard seed. And so he had this study done at the University of Hebrew Studies in Jerusalem. And he ordered this study done by them. And when they came back, it affirmed exactly what Tom had been told in the spirit, but he wanted affirmation in the natural. And here's what they found. That the mustard seed, it grew in the wild in that country, but it was one of the only seeds that they'd ever found that would not cross-pollinate or cross-breed. And he said, that was something that I never thought about with this parable. But why did Jesus use the mustard seed? Because Jesus knew everything there was to know about everything. And he used the mustard seed because one day there would be a Tom Underhill that through the Spirit was revealed to him that the mustard seed's one of the only seeds that will not cross-pollinate. Well, what does that mean? I mean, big deal, it won't cross-pollinate. It's a giant deal. It's a giant, giant deal. It won't cross-breed. See, faith and doubt don't work together. And so he's putting all this to death and life, they don't work together. Darkness and light, you can't mix the two. Faith cannot be mixed with anything from the world and at work. You've got to know that one of your jobs during the planting of seed while God's working it is to live on the faith. That's what you do during the time, is faith, and not get your faith cross-pollinated with the world's way of looking at things. Faith can't be mixed with anything from the world. Mark chapter 4, verse 4. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Do you see these two things? As he's given an illustration to the disciples about the parable he just told, he said some of the birds came to eat it. And in verse 15, he explains that the birds are demonic. Now follow me here. If the birds are demonic, then that wouldn't be representation of Satan, of course. And birds were demonic in Abraham's sacrifice that he was given in the Old Testament. Remember he chased the birds away? Mark chapter 4, verse 31. It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds. Three times it's referring to birds in the passage here in Mark chapter 4. The birds came and made a nest in its shade. And I just was like, that for years, I never understood that. I never put the three illustrations together. Right there in Mark chapter 4, he talks about birds, then he talks about Satan, and then he talks about birds again coming to make a nest in the tree that's not cross-pollinated. It won't cross-pollinate. So I've studied a lot of different theologians' view of all this, and I have even taught all four different views and said, I'll leave it up to you. I'm not doing that today. I'm telling you the one view that I believe is right. And so if you want to come and debate me on it, you can debate and you can take another view, but this is what I believe. And as I've studied Scripture, I believe a lot of the theologians that have this view. He said, when you put the Word of God in your heart, what this does is it leaves Satan in darkness. Now, to use an extreme illustration of a shadow could be darkness or darker than light. Everybody get that? I mean, yeah, this me. I got that. So that's an extreme illustration, but if the shadow would be considered darkness, put the Word of God in your heart. And what happens when you put the Word of God in your heart, in good soil, and you tend it through faith? Here's what it does. It leaves Satan in the darkness. I like this a lot. The Word in you will grow and leave everything around you outgrown. Nothing else can grow when the right seed in the right soil with the right faith, it leaves Satan in the darkness. Now, this is a big deal. Because shade doesn't get the benefit of growth like someone in the sun does. Or something in the sun does. The Word, church, supersedes Satan. It just, the Word supersedes Satan. And yes, he's going to come and build a nest right next to your produce. Why? Because he's a bird. And he wants the seed to be stolen so it won't produce. So what do? You shoo him away. You get him out of there. He's going to come and keep. Here's another nest. One thing about birds is I'm telling you, they have a nest before you know it. They do. And then on our front porch, once again, another story from home, we have this nice wreath that we have hung up. And if you close the door too hard, it falls off. You've all been there with one of them. And so you close it gently. Don't slam your doors. So I don't even use the front door because I don't like slam. I mean, I slam the door on accident. But I mean, here's what happens. We look out one day, and right in our wreath, a bird has built its nest. And we're wowed by it. We'll go right up to the window and look, and it's got eggs and it's growing. Oh, isn't that cute? No, it's a bird. It's Satan. It needs to go. Satan's always going to attempt to steal, kill, and destroy. But here's what you got to know. He's not getting that in my life. And if you'll plant right seed and you'll tend it, he's not going to get it in yours, and you'll let your faith not be interrupted by the world. I'm just telling you, he won't get it. Church, here's what you've got to know. You can see the start right here of God's covenant. He's got a covenant with man, and it starts with seed time and harvest. And I want to go from the beginning, and I want to illustrate all of that. And if you want to hear about it, I want to see you the next few weeks in church because we're going to continue to talk about it. Y'all stand with me today.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.